Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, so today. Today we're going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Dhruva Maharaj leaves home. And let's see, we're going to start with verse 73. And there's a few verses here with no purport, so we'll read on until we find it. A purport. Dvitiyam cha tata masam shashte shashte erbiko bako dine trina parna dibi shirnai kritano bhyarchayan vibhum. In the second month, Dhruva Maharaj ate only every 6 days. And for his eatables, he took dry grass and leaves. Thus, he continued his worship. Verse 74. Tritiyam chanayan masam navame navame hani abaksha utamash lokam upadavat samadina. In the third month, he drank water only every 9 days. Haribol. Thus he remained completely in trance. And worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is adored by selected persons. Text 75. Chaturtam api vai masam dwadashe dwadashe ani vayu baksho jita shwaso dhyayan devam adarayat. In the fourth month, Dhruva Maharaj became a complete master of the breathing exercise, and thus he inhaled air only every 12th day. In this way he became completely fixed in his position and worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Verse 76. Panchame mas yanu prapte jita shwaso nripatnaja dhyayan brahma padaikena tasto stanur ivachala. In the fifth month, Maharaj Dhruva, the son of the king, had controlled his breathing so perfectly that he was able to stand on it only one leg, just as a column stands without motion, and concentrate his mind fully on the Parabrahman. Text 77. Sarvato mana akrishya hridi bhutendriyashayam dhyayam bhagavato rupam nadrakshit kinchanaparam. He completely controlled his senses and their objects, and in this way he fixed his mind without diversion to anything else upon the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we have a short purport by Srila Prabhupada. The yogic principles of meditation are clearly explained here. One has to fix one's mind upon the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without diversion to any other objective. It is not that one can meditate or concentrate on an impersonal objective. To try to do so is simply a waste of time, for it is unnecessarily troublesome, as explained in Bhagavad Gita. Okay, let us say a few words about this. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Jumati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachane Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pastuchyadi Shatane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Vanchakaptarubhyas Jagripas, Sindhubhyayvaja, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So here we've read now the description of the particular austerities and the development of austerities of Dhruva Maharaj. And it's very extreme. We read yesterday how he was eating only fruits and berries, I think it was. Yesterday, fruits and berries on every third day. That was all. And we might think, some of us may have fasted for a few days before. Have any of you fasted for some days, a week, something like that? I fasted once for, I think it was a week, 6 or 7 days, until I fainted. Because, you know, it's not good for you, really. Yeah, I just became dizzy. I was getting dizzy spells. And then one day, sure, I didn't fall over, fortunately. I noticed what was happening and I sat down. But I just basically lost consciousness for some seconds. So anyway, some of us may have fasted for a few days sometime. I mean, I think we've all fasted for Janmashtami at least, isn't it? Yeah? Maybe we've done Pandavendya Jala Ekadasi, yeah? Done that, complete fast. So, you know, we can do it to some degree. And, you know, when you read this, eating fruits and berries every third day, of course, it's very austere. It's very austere. But it's something that a person could possibly do for a while. It's not like something totally extreme. Yes, there used to be a devotee in our temple in Johannesburg, Mulder's Drift, just outside Johannesburg many years ago. And he would go on different types of fasts at different times. One time he went on he had got a book about it. It is called the Hollywood Fast. And Hollywood Fast means you eat only pineapples. Pineapples only. You only eat pineapples for, it may be a week, it may be 10 days, it's for some number of days. You eat only pineapples. I don't know if you've ever eaten only pineapples for a while. It's interesting. Because pineapples, you don't notice it. You don't notice it when, you know, you have a meal and there's a little bit of pineapple, or, you know, sometime maybe for breakfast you get a bowl of pineapple and it's nice. But pineapple is fibrous. Means you can't really chew it to, you know, like a total mash sort of, where everything's soft. It remains like fibers. And those fibers are sharp. And if you only eat pineapples, after 3 or 4 days, they start cutting your mouth. Yeah? And your mouth starts bleeding. And it becomes really... Anyway, this devotee, he did the Hollywood fast. He only ate pineapple for like at least a week or something. And his whole mouth was lacerated. But then in terms of the Hollywood fast, after the week or 10 days, then you are meant to have a feast of, you know, unmentionable things for devotees. And instead of having, you know, a steak, he decided to have a paneer steak, or two or three. And so he did that. Within about an hour, or maybe a couple of hours, his digestive system collapsed. I mean, it all came out, everything, spontaneously, all over the place, and it was bizarre. So, anyway, how did we get onto the subject? But the thing is this, that what Dhruva first did, only fruits and berries every 3 days, it's, you know, obviously it's very austere. It's not just an easy thing to do, and I don't know what it would do to one's digestive system, but it's not impossible. It could be done. But now, these other things, look at this. In the second month, he ate, I guess, it doesn't really... Oh no, it does say. Only every 6 days, he ate dry grass and leaves. Now that is getting, has gone, I think, beyond what any normal person could do, let alone might want to do. But then, in the third month, he stopped eating. He only drank water. But he only drank water every 9 days. And in this way, the verse says, he remained in trance, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How was he worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is what he was doing. That was his specific program of worship as such. Then in the fourth month, it looks like he stopped eating altogether or drinking altogether. Although if you only drink water every 9 days, that's pretty much altogether. And now, through his Ashtanga yoga activities, he gained total control over the breathing process of his body. You might remember, if you've read, well, I'm sure you have, but if you remember the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, as he goes through this the process of Ashtanga Yoga, it's actually Ashtanga Yoga, although it may be called Dhyana Yoga, but it's really just part of Ashtanga Yoga. As he goes through it, then he comes to the point where the person must sit down focus their vision on the tip of their nose, you know, in other words, go cross-eyed, as sometimes we would do at school as a game, go cross-eyed, and then merge the incoming breath into the outgoing breath, and in that way suspend the breathing. This is there in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And, you know, up to that point, the description of Ashtanga Yoga in the 6th chapter, you know, it seems pretty extreme, but not impossible. But that's basically impossible, for us at least. It's essentially impossible. And, yes, and what would be the point? Of course, there is a point, but we'll come to that. But this is what Dhruva Maharaj did. And we're going to read on over the next few days. And we'll see that what an effect it had, even on the whole universe, that we'll talk about when we get there. But he was so extreme that he inhaled air only every 12th day. He's just in another dimension altogether. Just totally. We cannot relate with this in real terms at all. And as the verse says, in this way he became completely fixed in his position and worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then in the 5th month, he was controlling his breathing so much that somehow he was able to stand on only one leg without motion, just like permanently. Have you ever tried that? I do an exercise when I do my exercises, which I should do, and I do. But anyway, I do an exercise where I stand on one leg and lift the other foot up against the back of its own leg and stand there for 1 minute, and then the other, and then, you know, do it a few times. But if I don't hold on to something, then it's almost inevitable. It's just a matter of how many seconds before losing balance. So somehow or other, Dhruva Maharaj, through controlling his breathing, he was able to bring his body to such a point that he could maintain balance, it says, just as a column, a pillar stands, it just stands, it's just not going anywhere at all. And he was standing like that. There are many interesting points. One interesting point is that the process of breathing, it has many different effects, actually. Of course, generally, we don't even think about our breathing. We just breathe in and out and in and out, and that's just, we've been doing it for years and years. And it's very unusual for someone to note, you know, how am I breathing? I don't know if you've noticed, some people breathe faster, some breathe slower. But unless you really kind of look at it and compare yourself to other people, you wouldn't really notice, because as far as you're concerned, you just breathe. It's just like a motor function, a mechanical function of the body. But the breathing is not just that. And if one, for example, anyway, in the Vedic literatures, it's described that mental illness Or, you know, when the mind person loses control of the mind and the mind's just going here and there and doing this and that, and a lot of it's just nonsense. When a person comes to that state, in other words, mental illness occurs due to imbalance in the breathing process. And the Vedic cures for insanity involve regulating the breathing processes. Are you aware of that? Interesting. Not taking some Valium or some sort of, you know, psychotropic drug which usually, you know, makes you very dull and just sort of slows the mind down, that's all, and slows everything else down. So you don't get into these sort of bizarre conditions that people sometimes do in when they're not sane. And interesting point in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, there are descriptions of when Lord Chaitanya would sometimes go into ecstatic states, sometimes for days, and but nobody understood that he's in transcendental ecstasy. They just thought he's lost his sanity. Yeah, because it was getting really sometimes extreme. Sometimes he'd smash things, smash the house. Oh, very extreme sometimes. So Mother Sachi, she of course wanted to somehow or other cure him and bring him back to normal. So she called the doctor, and the doctor applied some breathing exercise. That's what he did. Because in Vedic culture, that is the normal thing. Not just the normal thing, but it addresses the problem which is underlying insanity, which is that the internal, the breathing, the life ears have somehow or other got really out of balance and disarrayed. Yeah. So, but on the other hand, if a person really controls their breathing processes and really works on them in very positive ways, then they become very powerful. Psychologically, they become, their minds become very strong, and they physically also they become very strong. And we'll talk more about it as we go through the other verses, which describe what happened in the universe simply because of his breathing. What he was doing in terms of breathing. We'll go on to that. But here we see, the particular point we see, which Prabhupada is referring to in the purport, is that through this mechanical process of doing these different exercises and adopting these different austerities of the physical body, then, one, if one really does it properly, if one is able to do it properly, then one will be able to focus one's mind on whatever one wants to focus it and keep it there. You know, nowadays, sometimes there's talk of, what do they call it? Attention deficit disorder, I think. So ADD, it's something like that. ADD, attention deficit, that people cannot give their attention to one thing, but you know, after a few seconds, their attention is elsewhere. Just, you know, they're talking to, even sometimes you see it with people, they're talking to you, and normally when people talk to you, they look at you. But this person now is talking to you, or you're talking to them, and then, you know, their attention is really elsewhere. And I saw a joke once, a cartoon, that two people are walking, and one says to the other, you know, this attention deficit disorder, it's really bad. It's really bad. People can't focus their attention. And the other one says, yeah, it's really bad. It's very bad. I had experience with someone else, with such and such. You know, this was happening, and I was talking to him, and you know, he wasn't giving his attention, but it was so important that it was really bad. And the other one, who was the one who began the discussion, said, what are you talking about? Did you get that? Yes. So yes, nowadays the ability to give attention, focus attention, is not great. And as a result of that, well, not as a result, but it's just an interesting point that in Bhagavad Gita, when in that same sixth chapter, where Krishna's talking about this type of process of extreme physical discipline and focusing the mind, because of becoming so disciplined, you became able to focus the mind and discipline the mind. But Arjuna, it's around chapter 6, verse 30, maybe 34, what does he say? What's the verse? The mind. How does that verse go? Yeah, just hand me a bag of the key, just say.
It's easier to control the wind.
Yeah, that I know, but I want to quote the verse. I used to know this verse. It's about 634, somewhere around there.
Chanchalam hi mana.
Ah, that's it. Chanchalam hi mana. Chanchalam. It's 634. Chanchalam himana Krishna pramati balavajadam tasyaham nigraham manye vayo eva sudushkaram. For the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong, O Krishna, and to subdue it, I think, is more difficult than controlling the wind. So in Kali Yuga, this is the case, and you know, Arjuna wasn't even really Kali Yuga yet. But Arjuna is noting this point that the mind, his basic point is that this process which Dhruva Maharaj is following is impractical or just plain impossible. In Kali Yuga, it's just not possible. Vayo eva sudushkaram. It's easier to control the wind. And Srila Prabhupada, is it in the purport, but somewhere, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that one can just imagine a person trying to control the wind, running around trying to hold the wind. It's just, you know, there's just no question of it at all. So, particularly in Kali Yuga, when people become very degraded, and all, you know, physical capabilities, emotional conditions, psychological capabilities, all these aspects of the conditioned entity, they become so degraded that controlling the mind for practically anything is at best extremely difficult, if not impossible. Of course, it's interesting to note there in Bhagavad Gita, in the next verse, read the next verse, Radha Golokananda, Devi Dasi. Trant sank. You lost it. Okay, anyway, I'll read it. Krishna replies, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Asamshayam Mahabaho, Manu Dhoni Graham Chalam, Apyasena Tukonteya, Vairagyena Chagriyate. You got it there? No? Okay. Lord Sri Krishna said, O mighty answer, son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly, you got it?
No, it's not, I'm trying to get it
directly. Oh, I see. O mighty Ant, son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice. Suitable practice. Not just any practice. And also by detachment. So in Kali Yuga, to focus the mind like this, as Dhruva Maharaj has done, in a mechanical way, just through some discipline. Yeah, just some discipline and self-control. It's not possible. It's actually not possible. And you could say the evidence is what Arjuna says. And, you know, he's a very special person. And it's not even really Kali Yuga yet when he spoke that. But he is saying it's not possible. But Krishna says it is possible. It's undoubtedly very difficult, but it's possible. If you practice in the right way and cultivate detachment. So in Kali Yuga, what this means is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Follow the process given by Lord Chaitanya. And then you can come to the point of topmost samadhi, totally absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, quickly. Quickly, in our terms, like within 20 years, 30 years, by Vedic standards, this is quickly. 40 years, quick, just like that, in Vedic terms. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that, well, even our acharyas also give the example that this cultivation of spiritual realization through yoga practice of different types, they say it's something like climbing a ladder, and they actually use the term the yoga ladder. And through climbing this ladder, I mean, it's a high ladder, it's not like an ordinary ladder. It's a really high ladder. But eventually, if you keep climbing, you reach the top, which is full realization. So Srila Prabhupada discussed this idea, and Prabhupada gave the example of trying to get to the top of some extremely high building, extremely tall building, like, you know, the Empire State Building or whatever the latest one is. I went up. Not you, I don't think. Did we? Did you? I went up. The Burj Khalifa?
Yeah.
Dubai?
Yeah.
Went up. Not actually to the, you don't go to the top, but there's a viewing area. We went up fairly high. In the lift, and I went to the top of the Empire State Building also, right to the top, more than 100 floors up. So Prabhupada gave this example then, that traditionally what people would do, they would come to that the top level through the yoga ladder, one step at a time, which is like walking to the top of the Empire State Building, 100-something floors, 105 or 6 or so, just walking. Or as compared to taking the lift, we used to have a building, we used to have a building in Johannesburg. It was 6 floors high. And I was living on the 6th floor. And, sometimes the lift would break down. Wow. And to walk up 6 floors, good exercise. But you wouldn't want to do it often. And once in a place in Russia, we were living in a building which had 16 floors. And we were on the 16th floor. And there were 2 lifts. First of all, one of them didn't work. Second of all, the second one stopped working too. And somehow, we got up to the 16th floor. My gosh, that was a real yuck, yeah. But then a devotee realized that he had forgotten something. So we just said, don't worry about it, it's okay. He forgot the butter, actually. So we said, look, we'll just have boiled things. It's all right. But 100 floors, that's just too extreme for anyone other than someone who is just so fit. I don't know, really. Yeah. So the process given by Lord Chaitanya, the chanting of the holy names and just that whole approach to Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada said, it's like the elevator process. It can take you right up to the top floor, just like that, practically effortlessly. And then you're there, you're actually there. So this is what... this is our process, to practice Krishna consciousness as given by Lord Chaitanya, and not to worry about these austerities. Of course, we, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport yesterday, we have our austerities. It's not that we don't have any. We definitely do. No meat, fish, eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. These are austerities. They definitely are. But compared to these austerities of Dhruva Maharaj, they're just very easy. Not difficult at all. Although having said that, if you're not Krishna conscious enough, then to follow the 4 regulative principles, it will be difficult. It can be impossible. If you don't have some, at least a little spiritual strength given through Krishna consciousness, particularly chanting the holy names. So we can just admire Dhruva Maharaj and appreciate. This is some completely extraordinary person, amazing person, and offer our respects to him. But even having said that, his realization of the Supreme Lord came not from doing these extreme disciplines, but chanting the names of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Hare Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki.